Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
One in the books, two to go. 2 hours left of the big show. It is The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, Joel on a Monday, coming back from an NFL Sunday in which we were recapping some of the other events, action, and results, like the Texans' big win in London over the Jacksonville Jaguars. And Barry, I wanted to get your opinion as well as Nick's on this. I don't know if you saw it because no one was really paying attention to the Jets-Dolphins game. Fair, right?
Yeah, fair.
Right. So then everybody thought, of the two teams, we know the Dolphins are tanking, so you figure the Jets are going to win. But it's really the Adam Gase Bowl, because he was the coach of the Dolphins. Mm-hmm. He was fired. Mm-hmm. He's coaching the Jets now, not very well, and they lost. I don't know, and Nick and I were talking about this, trying to figure out if it was a Miami beat reporter or if it was someone from New York, but I assume you didn't catch this, but I want to get your thoughts. A media guy, they said, last question for Gase after the game, his question was directly to the coach, does this validate Stephen Ross for firing you as coach of the Dolphins?
Ooh.
I mean, we talk about do you ask questions you have to ask for
a
story?
Big balls
do
question.
Do you ask
right there,
questions
boy.
For the fans that are
That's
dying to know?
That's a man's man right there asking questions.
You better be ready.
Ain't nobody in Houston asking that question.
I told Lisa, that's right. That's why I want to get y'all's feedback.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that verified?
Yeah, it was asked by, well, this is a quote to Barry Jackson, who is verified on Twitter. And he said, Gase was asked by a New York Daily News, the New York Daily News, if this loss validates Stephen Ross's decision to fire him.
That's New York media.
I was just going to say, it's so.
That ain't no soft ass Houston media.
But at the same time, it's so over the top that just it screams someone in New York who's always looking to be that guy to take that shot. Because I'm telling you right now, and I told Lisa when we were watching the clip, if that's me as coach and a guy, you better be ready to defend yourself because I'm leaving the podium and I'm going down and going right at your ass. Because that, to me, was a little bit much.
Here's the funny thing. It's a valid question. You just asked it to the wrong person.
I said that to Nick.
We were talking about it. I said, like, I don't think the question is actually incredibly invalid. It's just a little.
You just don't ask the guy that got fired.
You either ask the general manager. Yeah, you ask the general manager of the Dolphins.
Yeah, or the owner or whatever. But you don't ask the guy that got fired. That's just you being typical New York media.
And if you want to mix it up, you go to the general manager of the Jets and go, now, why would you hire a guy?
But this is what's why I laugh when Bill O'Brien hits the podium and everyone's like, oh. You know, he thinks he's got it rough down here. No one in this market would ever dare ask Bill O'Brien that question. No one would do that.
I disagree.
Who?
There's one, but he's not really in Houston media anymore.
Barry Warner.
Barry Warner would ask that question. I don't think there's any doubt in my mind. I'm not saying that because Barry's a friend of the show or a friend of mine. I just think in all his years and some of the way he has kind of looked forward to going at certain coaches.
Yeah.
He would be the only guy I could say that could conceivably ask that with a straight face.
Isn't he a
face.
New York guy, though, Barry?
I don't think so.
No. He's a Buffalo Bills fan.
You're both right. He's a Buffalo, New York.
Yeah.
I believe he's from Buffalo originally. Yeah.
Bill, should you be fired?
Just like that. Just straight to the point,
right.
Concise.
Yeah. Yeah, would. Yeah.
He wouldn't waste words.
But again, like, you know, nobody down here is asking those kind of questions, man.
No, I don't think so. And could you imagine Bill O'Brien reacting to something like that?
Oh, boy.
He would not be happy.
It'd be the equivalent of if somebody were to ask him before he got Deshaun Watson, leading up to that, it would be the equivalent of somebody said, Bill, I thought you were a quarterback whisperer. Why can't you make any of these guys good?
It's not my job to do that.
No one would ever ask a question like that to him because they'd be scared. I feel like. I wouldn't ask him that question.
I feel like if I'm not scared, I'd say intimidated.
Really?
I mean, it's
pretty much the same thing.
Okay. No, I think, okay. No, I disagree, but okay. I don't think there's a healthy fear that like he was going to.
There might be a guy or two that you're leaving out from the Chronicle.
I think you'd
that might go
hairs.
Down that road, but they would pick their battles and times to do
you think
it.
McClain would do it?
No way. Are you kidding me?
John mixes it up a little bit,
think
but
he could.
I think if he thinks no it might, if he thinks it might change the Bill O'Brien addressing him with John every time he answers a question and piss him off, maybe he'd think twice.
I don't feel like Brian T. Smith will let you run him either. He'll follow up with something real quick.
Oh, really?
Right when you start getting a little snappy with him, he'll have a follow up question.
Oh, okay.
Right away.
Still though, nothing compared to New York.
I would agree
those
with
those guys in the locker room will ask crazy questions.
Mm-hmm.
When they're all standing there right after the showers with phones in their face, they'll ask not just at the podium where there's space in between them. Those guys will ask ballsy questions in their face.
That's kind of what they do. That's kind of why.
That's how they carve out a niche for themselves.
That and the fact that, you know, they feel like the people are, New Yorkers want that.
They're Philly, Boston. There are some tough media markets, and those are three of the toughest.
Just based on the headlines
for
the sports and the way they really take jabs.
Oh, yeah.
It's part of the way they do business.
Somebody texted and said, by the way, you guys said you break the mold, but the style of QB of Lamar Jackson and Deshaun Watson has yet to win a Super Bowl. The traditional QBs continue to win Super Bowls. Russell Wilson has a Super Bowl. I wouldn't say he's your traditional QB.
Yeah, so. That's a matter of how you want to try and categorize guys that are outside of all categories, the way they play the game right now.
Somebody want to know, if Gardner Minshew turns it around, will it be similar to when the Seahawks drafted Russell Wilson and signed a free agent QB for a lot of money? No, I don't think it's the same. I don't think he's that good. I think he's got a skill set and he could be a, you know, upper middle tier quarterback. I don't think Gardner Minshew is ever going to be great. You know, Russell Wilson is borderline great in this league.
Russell Wilson's borderline Hall of Fame.
I think he'll be the Hall of Fame for sure. I mean, he's won a Super Bowl. He's won a passer rating title. He's thrown for the most touchdowns in a season. Like, this dude has the ability to beat you with his arm as well as his legs. He's a complete quarterback. But I don't think Gardner Minshew is on the same level. So, no, I don't think it's the same.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. As I said earlier, I think that what he's done from especially being undrafted to do what he's done and pick up in week one we've seen how many rookies struggle in their first year. He not only just takes the reins and runs with them, but he keeps the team in a winning situation in conversations for the division and otherwise. He'll be in the league. But I don't think that – I think that teams look at it in the offseason. They'll probably go, hey, who are you going to keep? Because if you keep Foles, I'd be interested in trading for you, Bears. But I'm not sure when I'm going to give this guy the keys to the car and let him drive again. I might do the backup with a chance
they're
to get better.
They're 4-5. Would you really – I mean, it's not like they're undefeated or 7-1 or 8-1 or anything like that. They're a 4-5 football team with him at the helm.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a guy you're going to start making trades for and saying, well, we're going to take a flyer at this guy being our franchise quarterback?
Let me ask you a question.
I know he's done some good, but I don't think you look at him the same way you would look at a few other guys. And look, for all the trouble that he's having, you still looked at a Baker Mayfield and thought, okay, maybe that guy could be the next Russell Wilson.
Okay, boys, you get one pick.
But Gardner Minshew, no.
Gardner Minshew, Mitch Trubisky.
Ooh.
Then I make that deal. That's why. That's why I make that deal, because I don't know when it's too early to pull the plug on a really bad move by the Bears.
What if I just said neither?
Well, that's not an option.
Well, that's kind of where the Texans were with Brock Osweiler. A part of the reason why the Texans acquired Brock Osweiler is because what was available at the time?
Yeah, they went out and got the best available QB.
And we talked about that a bunch on this show, but leading up to the situation.
Sure.
We understood the fact that it was a small sample size, and when you looked at the quarterback market at that time, Brock Osweiler at the time seemed like the right decision.
Right.
It might be similar with the example that Joel's talking about.
It's a great point.
But I don't know.
But think about that. Think about how that could have, and it kind of did, set the Texans back because they had to ship around draft picks and all that other stuff. So why even make that move then? Just scrap Trubisky, suck and go start over again in the draft. But going out and get somebody else's sixth round pick? That wouldn't make sense.
I can tell you exactly why. Was he drafted in the sixth round by them? I thought he was an undrafted free agent, Minshew.
I don't know. I have to.
Regardless, the reason why you make the move is, to your analogy, Nick, which is a good one, is the fact that you don't want to be like the Texans and have to double down on your own mistake by then giving up first-round draft picks and future considerations. If you can be the Bears and say, look, we made a mistake, but for a third-round pick or whatever the price might be.
Sixth round. It was sixth.
Yeah, he was a sixth-round
draft pick. Okay, so, but I'm just saying, so now if you're the Bears, I'm not going to go and use another high one on another quarterback, or I'm not going to go try to make a trade that involves a one to get someone else. If you're not willing to do that, at least an inexpensive possible fix would be, hey, I'll give you a mid-round pick for Gardner Minshew, and then we'll see what we got. Because maybe they're going to hang on, because you know how teams like to do it when they draft a guy. They don't want to be wrong, especially when Mahomes and Deshaun Watson in that same draft have just been through the roof compared to Trubisky. But it's easier to do that than say the Texans' way of thinking is, I'm going to give you future ones and I'm going to give you a whole bunch of stuff else to try and get out of this deal and still try to find your franchise quarterback.
If I'm them, I would probably try to flip Trubisky for a draft pick.
Oh, God. I don't know who's giving you anything.
Right, I mean, now. Look.
Like a third round? Like, what are we talking?
I mean, something, because I don't know that I would go out and now trade him in a third round pick to get a guy that was drafted in the sixth round that I don't think you've seen enough for him to say that's a franchise quarterback. He's shown some flashes of being capable in the NFL.
I'm not telling you he's a franchise quarterback.
But that's what you were
I'm
basically
telling you his
saying.
Upside right now looks like it's better than Mitch Trubisky.
But you'd be settling. I mean, at this point, you're trying to find a guy that's your franchise QB that you think can lead you to a Super Bowl. You really think Gardner Minshew could lead the Bears to a Super Bowl?
Yeah, because he doesn't have to do too much. He can run, which they need.
Trubisky doesn't have to do too much.
Right, but he does too much because he does too much turning over the football and making mistakes.
Gardner Minshew turned the ball over four times yesterday.
Yesterday, sure. But what I'm saying is when he knows
that's nine fumbles?
When he knows that all he has to do is manage the game and he's got the all-world defense on the other side of the football.
They've played nine games. He's fumbled once a game.
Okay.
I mean, if I'm gonna start moving it, because I've already given up the one for Trubisky. Now you want me to give up a three for a guy that was a six and take that chance? I'd rather just draft it in the first round again, maybe move up or something. But you're getting guys retreads and guys that you've seen that can take a mediocre team to be 4-5.
But by the time you do that and use a draft pick, you don't know how quickly a kid's going to be ready. By that time, your defense might not be nearly as good, and people leave. And the fact that if you believe, like everybody was talking about before the season, that the Bears were a Super Bowl-caliber team, and all of a sudden now it's pretty obvious that the one glaring weakness is at quarterback, at least you get a guy that's proven in the NFL he's not too big for the moment, that he's had for his shortcomings, he's also had his success.
If you're going to do that, though, Joel, you're looking at the wrong guy on that team. Go get Foles. I'd rather put Foles on the Bears and give him a chance to win than Gardner Minshew.
But if you're Jacksonville, do you feel like you're
especially
better chance
if you think
to win
that they got
to
win now?
Depends on that's what I'm saying. If you're Jacksonville, because I'm not opposed to that, but if you're Jacksonville, you have to weigh the situation. Go, are we trying to win now?
But what I'm telling you is Gardner Minshew isn't worth all the hype. Like, if you're thinking of a win-now mentality, it's always going to be Nick Foles versus Gardner Minshew. If you're looking for a maybe, hey, we might get lucky and Gardner Minshew turns into a top-10 quarterback, if you want to take that chance, it's the NFL. I mean,
that's kind of what the gamble is, though.
Yeah, you almost need a sure thing. And Foles is a much more sure thing for the short term than Gardner Minshew is for the long term.
I mean, it also depends on because season one, season two of Mitchell Trubisky, the Bears looked at him like, we believe in this guy. Mm-hmm. Now he's nine games into the third season. So if it's a situation where, okay, I give up on Mitchell Trubisky and play this gamble of Minshew, to say that Minshew's game doesn't evolve similar to what Nick Foles does, and he doesn't really become the star until, you know, four or five seasons down the road? I mean, the Bears at least have a better team around him, you know, than what he has at Jacksonville at the very minimum. So I don't know if that's the case, but that might be what they're looking at. Like, you know what? We're done with Trubisky anyway. Let's take this gamble on Minshew. It could be a situation like that.
Well, most of them are a crapshoot, because just like it could be a situation where he gets better, he could also end up like Mitch Trubisky again.
Sure.
And now you're
Osweiler.
Now you're 6 years behind and out a bunch of draft picks in that regard. That's why you got to either take a first round flyer on another quarterback, which they did and it didn't work out, but that's fine. But don't go Texans and put yourself in another hole.
That's what I was trying to say.
Get Foles and go draft another QB in the first round.
If you give up a mid round pick and you get a guy that, sure, it's a crapshoot, but it looks like there's a better chance for him to succeed than Trubisky, and you don't do the Texans route of giving up a first in this year and another first then and then all these other different things. you can try and salvage it. Because as a GM, it's kind of like the Bill we were talking about with Bill O'Brien's mentality. From a GM standpoint, when you're the Bears, you better damn well do something quick to save it. And I don't think a draft pick this year, you have the time to – you won't be around by the time the kid develops. Well, the Bears could just trade for Cam Newton. He might be available too. All right, we'll continue to roll on. It's hour two, 3 hour show. We take you till four. Blitz is out of town. So if I believe I heard right, the fill in Blitz, Lance Zierlein
and
Josh Innes. One show.
Interesting.
Tonight on ESPN 97.5.
Cool.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through hour number two of the three-hour show. It's The Usual Suspects. ESPN 97.5 on a Monday in the big city, and we appreciate you taking us along for the ride and being suspects on the regular Monday through Friday, 1, 2, 4 p.m. Barry, Nick, and Joel in the studio on a Monday following the Texans' win in London, and so much more in the NFL. We were kicking it around the league. The one story we haven't got to yet that started to get a little run, but boy, was it interesting. This Jermaine Whitehead story. Dustin Fox is the guy's name that covers the Browns, I believe, for a Cleveland television station. And he started during the game by basically saying, Whitehead's effort tackling today is a joke. And others kind of jumped on the bandwagon to criticize his play. If I said to you, if I just recited some of his tweets,
crazy.
I don't know that I would be on the air anymore. He was subsequently suspended from Twitter, so he went to Instagram to keep it going.
Yeah.
In which case, one fan basically said, bro, you're going to be unemployed on Monday. They were right, as the Browns first said they were going to handle it internally, and now have said, you're gone.
Some dude on Twitter said, just saw 2 for 110 yards and a TD, bleep boy. Called him an F boy, right?
Ooh, that's never a good thing.
So Jermaine Whitehead responds, don't get shot at, little bitch. Can you whoop my ass? Bleep football. Let me know when you need the address. To which that guy replied, you'd probably miss. So that was like
that's
one.
Probably what put it over the top, the threat.
Oh, I don't know.
Don't get shot at was one, right? Then somebody else like, give me the time and the place. You suck. And so he tweets out the address. Problem was it was the address of the Browns facility.
But he did threaten to kill one person on social media.
Yeah, well, that's what I said. He said, don't get shot at. And then he said, so this Brian Schoeffler, it said, he said, any bleeping day of the week, cracker.
Oh, yeah.
I started using racial slurs.
The response.
He called several people a cracker. Yeah, well, he was upset. I'm here to tell you.
The response to the TV guy was, come get it in blood, bitch, made ass little boy. I'm out here with a broke hand. Don't get smoked, F-ass cracker.
He told one dude straight up, I'm going to kill you, bitch. That's on blood. Yeah. Like, it's just, that dude lost it.
It was a threatening. It was a like, if he just.
He lost it.
If he had profanity and it didn't include any threats, maybe they handle this internally, suspend you or something. I don't know. Fine you. You start making threats with guns and violence.
You can't threaten to kill people. That's,
yeah, you can't.
It's that's dumb. A little. I mean, you can, but it's a little much. It's a little over the top.
I take it back to that quote that I read to you from Twitter. Was directed at Dustin Fox, who was on the national championship team and a captain for the Ohio State Buckeyes, played 4 years in the NFL, ESPN college football analyst, and Browns radio and TV announcer. And that's how one of the players on the team he covered responded to him.
That's crazy. So he gone.
Yeah. Thus, he is without work.
Oh, and a Twitter account at this point.
Yeah. Instagram, I think, is still live, although I don't know how, based on some of the things he said there, too.
Yeah.
Just crazy, man. And it gets worse for a Browns team that couldn't beat the Broncos without Joe Flacco. I don't know how Freddie Kitchens survives the bye week. I mean, it's just that's a mess. From a team that was the sexy pick to win the Super Bowl or at least get there, how are they looking now?
Yeah, they're 2-6. Thank God the Bengals are in that division for them, right?
Absolutely.
How's the how the AFC or the NFC North do?
Here we go.
Huh?
Of course he picked this week.
Huh?
It's fine. Still record-wise, the NFC North better than the AFC South. However, I will admit all four teams in the NFC North lost yesterday. Mm. Okay.
Still better, you say?
Yeah.
By one tie. Both divisions have 19 wins.
Oh, you're going to go. I'm going by team by team. How many playoff teams you got in that division?
I'm just saying. Both divisions have 19 wins.
Okay. You know what? You're very feisty today, and you want to go.
No,
so that's
you're
fine.
So you got
the AFC South, and I got the NFC North. And you know what? We're only halfway there.
You brought this up for 6 weeks straight.
No, we still got half
the AFC North was doing fine. You brought it up for 6 weeks straight, and now that the AFC South is getting their act together, they've
Packers
tied.
Lost, they still got a better record than the Texans. I took that one, too.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying.
So that's why, just like you would say to me there, we got a half a season yet to
Bears
play.
Bears ain't holding up there into the bargain, and the Lions are lucky they got that tie.
Good Lord, freaking get me, pick me, Mike. Yeah. Your team sucks.
Bears lost four
After
in a row.
After further review, the Bears still suck. Maybe worse than ever.
Four
Not
in a
ever,
row.
But it's really bad, and I like
Started
it.
Started off 3-1, four in a row. And after taking a lot of heat in Minnesota, Kirk Cousins is playing better.
And without Thielen, who went out again. He had a hamstring. He tried to play. He's out again. They think he's out for multiple weeks. But let's just be honest, and we talked about this a few weeks ago. You can talk about Cousins as the weak link, which he is, and you got to get that offense moving. But Dalvin Cook's a freaking stud.
Yeah.
Dalvin Cook's coming off ACL surgery. And normally they say it takes a year or so to get back to form.
Yeah, but how do you not put up?
He's the second best running back in the league.
But how did he not go nuts running the ball on that Chiefs defense, though? 71 yards, that's it, from the number one running back in the NFL right now? 71 yards. Got to do better than that.
Bro, can I just tell you things happen? It's the same way as saying over the last four games, the Chargers have had 140 total yards of rushing. They had 147 in the third quarter against the Packers through three quarters. Happened.
By the way, yesterday was so weird. Like, my picks, I noticed after I did my spreadsheet, I only had two home teams that my spreadsheet said to pick. Literally every home team won yesterday, including the Ravens, which I thought, well, that'll break that streak. If I can get the Ravens to lose, if I can get, you know, the Patriots to win, and then I think it's Dallas, I'd go like 4-9 on the week. I'm staring at 2-11 and picks.
And
it was the weirdest
you-
week for football. It's like you said, the Packers losing, the Patriots losing. What a
And also,
odd
if I
week.
Told you, because you obviously with the numbers and the formulas and things like that, if I told you, you know what, Barry, it's easy. This week, aside from the first game of the week and the last game of the week, all the home teams are going to win across the board. Every single one of them. No way. And it did.
Yeah.
Every single home game, home team won yesterday.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Just nuts. All right, there's some NFL talk for you to wrap up the first half of the show. Still got a lot of baseball, believe it or not, to get to. As we mentioned, 301 today, free agency wide open in Major League Baseball. And lots of names on that list, including the Astros or formerly employed by the Astros, Garrett Cole. We'll talk about that, baseball, and a whole bunch of other things. If you want to join the show, 713-780-3776, HRNP Listener Line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Second half next, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. 90 in the books, 90 still to go. Here comes the second half of the show. As we always do, we give back to you, the suspects. So why don't we do that right now? You're invited to the 15th annual Houston Cellular Classic, Houston's largest food and wine festival, at the Tasting Room in Uptown Park. It's Saturday, November the 9th. With over 40,000 square feet of wines, restaurants, live music, and more, We are here to take care of you. Right now, we'll take caller 14. 713-780-3776. Caller 14 wins a pair of tickets to the Genesis Works Houston Cellar Classic. It's a cellar classic, Barry. As in wine cellar. Not like buying and selling. So if you're into wine and good food, the Houston Cellar Classic, including tastings from all wines, food from participating restaurants, and free Riedel stemware. Those are glasses to you and me. Get your tickets now at Houston Cellar, C-E-L-L-A-R, classic.com, or be caller 14, 713-780-3776. Good luck.
Good luck. Somebody texted the show, had a question for us. Hey, guys, do y'all think with Strasburg opting out, we, meaning the Astros, have a shot to land him? No. I don't think they're going to spend that kind of money again. You're already spending, he's going to get upwards of 25 to 30 mil a year probably. And you're spending that on two guys already. If they were going to spend that money, I'm guessing they figure out a way to free up enough to keep Gerrit Cole. So that's not going to happen either. So I think what you're looking at with the Astros is they have their two aces. They have Verlander and they have Greinke. Now, barring a trade, which is what Joel suggested earlier, I think what you're looking at is them going out and making another Wade Miley or Charlie Morton type of move, where they're going to go out and spend another 8 to 10 mil, bring in a guy, see what they can do by making him better, and see if they can create another Gerrit Cole or another Charlie Morton. Wade Miley didn't work out. Wade Miley didn't have the same kind of stuff either. Let's keep that in mind. You know, with Morton and Cole, they had fastballs that fit the type of fastball that fits into what the Astros do. Miley, not so much. He was a little bit softer tossing. He didn't. The way he pitched wasn't necessarily the way the Astros would be ideal for them. So I suspect that they'll go out and find somebody else. A name I keep seeing thrown around, by the way, is Zach Wheeler. So keep an eye on that.
I have seen that as well. Yeah. Look, I'm going to disagree with you from the standpoint, not just because I did the video on SportsMap about it, but I really believe that they'll at least kick the tires and have a conversation with Strasburg, because in looking at the way the playoffs went, if Gerrit Cole is definitely gone, and because of what you just mentioned that we've talked about, the formula for Astros pitchers is having a power arm. They saw with Zach Greinke, you can be as good as he was in Game 7, or you can have several other outings in the playoffs when you last 4 1/3, 4 2/3, and it's not quite the same kind of from fear factor to a dominance perspective of someone that throws that hard on top of everything else. So whether they think about trading Zach Greinke as part of the financial means necessary to make a move, or if they just look at saying, hey, if we were willing to give up and thought the market for Gerrit Cole that we wanted to compete in was going to be 35-ish or up, and we can get Strasburg for five to eight less, do you consider doing that? I think they at least consider it, because they realize how important it is to have the top two be power arms that are dominant. And we don't know how it's all going to play out. We've already said, look, you know, if anybody would take Josh Reddick at 13 to 15, whatever his final year is, that's a lot of money. They've got some flexibility, but of course they also have to think about long-term. Springer's coming up. Correa's coming up. What are you going to do? So it's not the best of situations in terms of trying to balance all that money and all those decisions for Jeff Luhnow, but that's what he gets paid for. And hopefully they'll figure out some solution. And you also got to hope Lance McCullers is healthy.
Yeah, you do. But, man, they've got a lot of money due. Spotrac seems to think George Springer's going to get about $21 million in arbitration. They think Osuna's going to get 10. They think Correa's going to get 7.5. You still got to pay Aaron Sanchez. He's going to get 5.5. Brad Peacock is due. Lance McCullers is arbitration eligible still. So
McHugh's up.
You've got a lot of guys that
Will
are
Harris.
Well, those are all free agents. I'm just talking about arbitration. I'm talking about the fact that their payroll – with 18 guys on the roster is $208 million. That's the luxury tax threshold. You still have to pay all the other stuff like minor salaries and all those other things. They'll be $16 million over the tax threshold just currently. That's without adding free agents.
I just hope a lot of teams want Zach Greinke.
They've got to look at that and be – so that's why I say if they're going to do anything, I'm guessing it's going to be somebody in the middle of the pack as far as salary goes. That's a project that they can work on, because I don't see them adding that kind of money, 25, 30 million. I just don't see it happening. Remember, they got Cole at $13.5 million last year. That's a hell of a bargain. Yeah, that's a hell of a bargain. So that's what you're looking for. When in 2018, his contract was $6.7 million.
And when you look at the that's what they're going to they add. They're going to add get six, Cole.
Yeah,
it was nothing compared to what they gave up to get Greinke.
So they're trying to add $6 to $10 million is what they're trying to add. And that you know, and it's really not even the three spot because that's going to be McCullers. So you're talking about a four starter. That's what you're not going to go out and spend unless you're adding, you know, like you said, an ace. Yeah. But they're probably going to spend somewhere in the neighborhood of $6 to $10 million on a four, which will be, end up really being a three or two on most other teams, most likely, if the trend continues. But crazy.
It's going to be
crazy kind of money.
And, you know, and again, when we look at the names that are out there and the available free agents that start in less than a half hour, it's going to be real interesting because the power plays that are going to be going full swing in terms of teams trying to make a difference or make a jump or get into that conversation of being one of the best teams in their not just their division, but in their league. You know the Yankees are going to be players.
Oh, yeah.
The Dodgers are going to be players because the Dodgers are like the Bills right now and how many times recently they've sniffed it but haven't been able to get over the top. The Angels obviously are said to be interested in not only Cole, but there's a school of thought and rumors out there. They might try to get Cole and Rendon.
I could, boy.
And you add that to Mike Trout.
Yeah.
And you've got a manager in Madden. And they're in your division. So it's going to be interesting to see how these things play out. The other thing interesting, and I don't know if you caught this or not, but did you see the Yankees move yesterday?
Resigning or extending Aroldis Chapman?
Right.
Yep.
Right. Which, of course, from a baseball perspective, is a no-brainer, right?
Yep.
So did you see Hal Steinbrenner's comments on everything? Because I don't know if everybody knows about this or not, but just as Osuna went through, before he became an Astro, Aroldis Chapman had a domestic violence issue, and he was suspended for 30 games to start the season. When Hal Steinbrenner was asked about it and if they had any regrets, the Yankees, he said, quite frankly, it was manageable the minute he got here last year. He was great. Look, he admitted he messed up. He paid the penalty. Sooner or later, we forget, right? That's the way we're supposed to be in life. He did everything right and said everything right when he was with us. I don't think you make the comment, we forget, right?
Mm.
You don't forget. You never forget, especially when it's something that serious.
Yeah.
That's just someone that needs to shut his mouth.
Yeah, don't comment at all. That's probably best. Somebody texted the show and said, what about trading Correa, moving Bregman to short, and then signing Rendon? Financially, it doesn't make sense.
No, sure doesn't. Because you're going to pay you think Correa is going to cost you money down the line. And because he's been injured so much, you don't, that price tag has probably come down unless he really stays healthy and he rips the cover off of it. Rendon's going to get top dollar.
Yeah, Rendon's going to get top dollar. And plus, I mean, you take advantage of Correa's arbitration years. So the fact that you have him for a few more years, he's only ARB 2. You're going to go through two more years of arbitration with Correa, which means you're going to get him at a discount. Until he starts making $25-30 million a year. So you keep Carlos Correa for the next 2 years because that and that allows you to have a little bit of money to maybe spend elsewhere. But if you ship him out, yeah, then you're kind of like, well, now you got to spend more money on Rendon. So no, you keep Correa. I don't think that they do much. The only thing that I could see happening is something going on at right field. With Reddick, maybe moving him for some prospects.
You put Kyle Tucker
out there. You free up some of that salary, possibly. Something like that. But don't expect a lot of big moves to be made as far as like big, you know, top of the top.
What do you think
they're
going to have to pay to get Wheeler? Probably in the 20s, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, probably low 20s.
Yeah.
So that again, it's like, wow, where are they going to get the money for that? But that's the rumor I keep seeing.
I've seen
but
it
maybe that's why
as well.
Maybe they figure out where to move Josh Reddick, and there's the rest, the 6 or 7 I'm talking about, plus his 13. That's 20 something for Wheeler.
Yeah.
So
Joe
maybe
Smith's
that's
making
the move.
Eight. Never thought you might want to consider keeping Joe Smith before the playoffs.
Yeah.
Joe Smith at 8. I don't know. All right, we're going to continue to roll on. It's hour 2 going through fast as we head all the way up till 4 o'clock. It is the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
I'm officially
tapping.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Wrapping up hour number two, three-hour show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Monday in the big city. Kicking around some baseball prior to free agency starting at 3:01 this afternoon.
Yeah, a couple other news and notes. Obviously, Strasburg opted out of his contract with the Nationals, so he's a free agent. Mets signed Carlos Beltran to be their manager. That was a weird one for me. Not a lot of experience.
Right.
Same thing with Ross and the Cubs. It's like, okay, I guess that's the trend now. Go see the Phillies and Kapler. But, oh, wait, he got fired.
How'd that work out?
Yeah, exactly. And then they had also the announcement of the Gold Glove winners. The Astros got a Gold Glove winner. It just happened to be in the National League, and it was Zach Greinke.
Yep.
So no other Astro won a Gold Glove, which I kind of find interesting, to say the least, when you consider a lot of that outfield. Josh Reddick is a quality
Rizzi
glove.
Rizzi can play enough games. Otherwise, he definitely
would be there.
Springer
is a quality glove. Yep. But the outfield, obviously, Kevin Kiermaier won, and I could see that. But
really, really good.
Jackie Bradley Jr. and Mike Trout were the other center fielders, so George Springer doesn't even become a finalist for a Gold Glove. And maybe the injury had something to do with that. Mookie Betts won for the right field, and Alex Gordon of the Royals was your left field Gold Glover. Chapman at third base. Bregman was a finalist. Altuve was a finalist at second base, but Yomer Sanchez of the White Sox wins it. Gurriel was a finalist at first. I was pleasantly surprised to see that and glad.
Yep.
But Matt Olson of the Athletics wins the Gold Glove there. And that is all the Astros that were finalists or winners of Gold Gloves.
AJ and I had a back-and-forth debate because of the fact he didn't think Bregman's a very good defender.
He's crazy.
And I was just like, you got to be out of your mind.
Any reason he can find to hate Alex Bregman, he's going to do
it. Good point.
And rather than AJ just come out saying, look, I was wrong about Alex Bregman. He's a douchebag, but I was wrong. He'll find something else to nitpick on it. But that dude is a Gold Glove caliber third baseman.
And shortstop for the most part. He can fill in it short.
Who can hit? I mean, he's an MVP candidate. He's an MVP caliber player in Major League Baseball. So,
and he was actually texting me on the side when I was tweeting, and I was like, bro, you're all hung up on the one game in the playoffs where he had two errors in the worst inning for the franchise for the entire season, basically. Yeah. But when you look at it, you forget about, what was it, the playoffs 2 years ago when he makes the unbelievable off-balance throw to the plate, saves the game,
and
basically essentially wins that game. And how many more plays he made, and even when you didn't get him out at first, the barehanded plays, the range he has, the ability to play two different positions. I just don't know how you're going to crap on a guy like that.
Yeah. By saying he's not good because he booted the ball a couple times is the equivalent of saying that, like, Michael Brantley can't hit because he didn't hit during the Tampa Bay Rays series. Michael Brantley is a solid major league bat. Like, he's one of the better hitters in baseball.
He's not a power hitter, but
he's struggled. All right. And you know what? Bregman had a bad game, bad series defensively. Yep. It happens. Yep. But
overall, look, he deserves to be in the top three right there.
Oh, yeah. He should be a finalist.
Yeah, no question about it. The other managerial news of the day, John Morosi reporting the San Francisco Giants have narrowed down their finalists for their manager position, including one you mentioned, Gabe Kapler, who didn't work out with his tenure with the Phillies, Pedro Grifol, and the Astros' very own bench coach, Joe Espada. So we'll see how
He's a big name on a lot of people's lists.
Yep. He was a finalist, I believe, in San Diego. There's a lot. His name's come up a lot. He interviewed twice in a couple of different positions. So we'll see how that plays out because Jeff Luna has already said that the coaching staff will stay intact, obviously, albeit except for if one of their coaches gets a managerial opportunity.
Somebody said you can't win a Gold Glove if you had an error. No, I don't think that's true. I think it goes off of fielding percentage and some other things. And there's voting, but... Yeah, I think it's they vote on it, but I think it's also fielding percentage and some other things. You have to play in a certain amount of games or innings or whatever. Yeah, I don't think it's just strictly based on errors.
Yeah, and when you think about it too, I mean, Greg Maddux won five straight, I think it was, and don't tell me in five straight years he didn't make an error with as many attempts as he had too. It's not about errors. You're right. It's about fielding percentage. So
yeah.
And Zach Greinke's the hell. We saw it in Game 7. Zach Greinke deserves to win a Gold Glove, and he's won multiple now. But the plays that he made in Game 7 alone, when he had five putouts in the first five innings to tie the record, just they say people don't realize because everybody focuses on he's a different kind of guy. He seems kind of aloof. You know, the way he handles the media, his social anxieties, whatever. But they said every sport he plays, from like bowling to basketball, he can dunk, he can do everything in basketball, that he's just a freak athlete. And you just wouldn't think that looking at him. Because you just see him in a baseball, baggy baseball uniform. But basically, when you talk to anybody, they said he's just a stud athlete.
Yeah, just to give you an idea, Matt, Chapman had 9 errors this year.
And
Bregman had 8.
Nolan Arenado won what, for like his like 95th in a row.
Yeah, Bregman had 8 errors at third base and 3 at shortstop. A 966 fielding percentage at third base and a 986 at shortstop. And Chapman had a 981 fielding percentage with 9 errors. So
I kid, but Nolan,
pretty close.
Nolan Arenado won his 7th straight Gold Glove at third base in the National League.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, when you look at defense in baseball, you start with Arenado and Chapman at third base. Mm-hmm. Those two guys are just all world.
Yep.
So
they are the gold standard.
Let me see what you did there.
Ah, mm-hmm. Who did that?
Gold Glove.
This guy.
Gold standard.
Yeah, all right.
Well done.
Hey, thank you.
Yeah, nice job.
Spent all morning coming up with that.
Nationals were at the White House today, in case you care.
Oh, really?
And they played Baby Shark.
Did they?
When the team came out into the garden.
Boy, did Trump have a rough week. He got booed at the World Series, and they chanted, lock him up. Then he goes to the UFC fights and gets booed again.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough being the president, I suppose.
Maybe. Oh, he's cool with Dana White, so I knew he was going to be there. And I'm pretty sure he got the invite directly from Dana White.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know, so I think at this point it's like, it's like the NFL commissioner, Roger Goodell. You're going to get booze.
Yeah. If I'm Trump, I try not to go to many sporting events because I don't feel like that's a good – you're not going to get a lot of love. I just don't think if you do many – unless it's at one of your rallies, I don't think you're getting much love publicly.
I don't think so at all.
I agree with that.
I wouldn't. Yeah. If I'm
Maybe him, he doesn't care, and that's probably why he keeps going out.
It's not a statement on his politics or what I think of him. I'm just saying if I'm him, I'm probably staying home. I'll watch it on pay-per-view.
Yeah, I agree.
No thanks.
Yeah. Did you see, by the way, and I'm trying to find the exact quote for you, Mike Rizzo, the GM of the Nationals, took a little parting shot at the Astros when they were celebrating and making the trip to the White House and everything.
I did not see that because I saw, I don't know if it was you or somebody, but there was pictures of the Nationals, or the Nationals posted something about congratulations to the Astros.
Yeah, I thought that
was
classic.
Their fans were like, hey, you guys are, you know, top-notch fan base and congratulations on a successful year.
Yeah, they took out a full-page ad in the Houston Chronicle that said to the Astros, their fans, their players, their team, yeah, absolutely congratulations on a great year. I think that's a class move.
Oh, yeah,
and teams
all the
don't
way.
Do that all the
no,
time.
No, that's great.
But then you take the flip side of that, and then Mike Rizzo, the GM of the Nationals, went out and said, yeah, you know, what we really prefer to do in winning a World Series and otherwise is make sure all of our headlines only happen in the sports section.
Wow.
You didn't need to do all that.
No, you didn't need to do all that.
Don't be an ass. Handle it with class. You got the newspaper ad on one side, and then you got that parting shot you didn't need to do on the other.
Mm. Ouch.
Astros Twitter, I'm sure, was already gearing up their first maneuver to go at Nats fans.
Of course.
So there's some baseball for you as we wrap hour number 2. We still got an hour to go on the show, 60 minutes on the clock, and lots to get to. But if you want to join us, we'd love to have you. If there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest or something we've already talked about that you want to bring back to the table with some new points, why don't you give us a shout? 713-780-3776. You can text that number. You can call that number. That is indeed our HR&P listener line. You can also reach us via Twitter at BarryIsFunny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, and at The Producer Nick. We are the usual suspects. Hour 3 coming up next, right here on ESPN 97.5.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything.
Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments. River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Tropical Smoothie Cafe welcomes you to Tropic Time. I'll be your concierge. Our beach bites, including made-to-order wraps and bowls, are full of tropic vibes. And our fresh-from-the-blender smoothies make you feel absolutely radiant. It's like a wellness retreat for your taste buds. You're on Tropic Time now at Tropical Smoothie Cafe. Got breakfast plans? At Tropical Smoothie Cafe, hitting your protein goals is a breeze. With our smoothies, bowls, wraps, and diets featuring up to 32 grams of protein.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.